Happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. Today's episode of the show brought to you, as always, here on a Monday by the great folks over at touringplans.com. I have my premium subscription to touringplans.com pulled up right now on my iPhone 6, and I can give you an example of some of the great information you're going to get when you run lines right there on your smartphone. For example, if I was in the Magic Kingdom right now, I can see that it's telling me to wait to ride the Seven Dwarves Mine Train because the lines will be dropping until 11 o'clock tonight with a shortest wait time expected of 43 minutes. Right now, the current expected wait time is 92 minutes. Yikes. It's telling me, however, that if I want to ride the Astro Orbiter, I can ride that any time today because the wait time is going to stay about the same throughout the day. If you need great information like this so that you can stay out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible, you need to grab that premium subscription to touringplans.com. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 895 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you, and let me offer my apologies for my voice today. I know that it's been a little rough, but we've been trying to get this podcast recorded all week, and this is the best it has gotten all week. So I want to have my guest on the show today because we want to get this out here. It's an exciting time. We're heading into the run season here. It's, you know, it's turning from summer to fall. Lots of great running events. So we're going to talk some Run Disney today. And of course, a Walt Disney or a Disneyland trip report today. We're going to head to the West Coast. So speaking of the West Coast, we have a great listener of the show. Alan is up in Washington State joining us today. Welcome to the show, Alan.
Thanks, Mike.
Glad to have you here. So hopefully you can carry the show and I can just kind of sit back and let the pipes rust up.
Drink some tea with honey, right?
That's what I need. I shouldn't have had the Coke Zero right before we recorded. It's a little rough.
So what we ran into was the Star Wars Half Marathon. This was the inaugural race. I blame this one all on my wife, fortunately, because she heard about this and told me about it. I was not a runner prior to this. Well, not really. Back in 2013, I had done a 5K with my daughter at the Tinkerbell Half Marathon, which she and a friend of hers did, and we all went down for that. Fast forward to June 2014, she told me, "Hey, next week they're doing a half marathon at they're doing signups for a half marathon at Disneyland, and it's a Star Wars half marathon." So she told me about that, and I hemmed and hawed about it for about 5 seconds, and then. And then started researching how to do that. And so that the morning of signups, I logged in at 9 o'clock my time because I'm on the West Coast, and kept on refreshing until I got in and signed up for the 5K and the Rebel Challenge. And the Rebel Challenge is the 10K and the half marathon. So this is a little was a little crazy to do because this was my very first half marathon, so I went ahead and started training that day. Went out and grabbed the Jeff Galloway's half marathon app for my iPhone, and started with that. Started with the 15-second run, 45-second walk, run intervals, and progressed all the way through. And by the time that I got to that race, we were up to a 30-second run, 30-second walk, which carried us all the way through the half marathon, and that worked out great.
So now I'm on the cold syrup today. So let me ask you this: did I hear this right that you know before you signed up for the Rebel Challenge plus the 5K, which you know that's kind of a bonus there? The longest race that you had done organized was a 5K.
That's correct.
Nice. So. I like the way you roll. You know, let's dream big here.
Oh, go big or go home, right?
It's like me doing the dopey this January. I think I might have bit off more than I can chew, but sounds like, you know, hey, you can still talk and you sound like you're still vertical, so hey, it must have worked out.
Yeah, it worked out great. So this was on over Martin Luther King weekend in January. So we went down from Thursday till the following Wednesday, I believe it was. And we did some park days for those, and then we did the races the following days. Now, one of the things that we did do was that's nice about Disneyland is they've got partner hotels all along the east side of the park itself, where you can get really good hotel prices and the like, with all within walking distance. So we stayed at one of the Best Westerns, and we were able to just get up early, walk over to the parks every morning. I think we got up at the races started at 5:30, and we would get up at 4:45 or so and walk over to the start line and just get into the corrals that we were in.
Yeah, I've heard that's a huge advantage to running out on the West Coast at Disneyland, because I can tell you, you know, personally, I've run a lot of morning races at Walt Disney World, and you're typically getting up at, I'm trying to guess, you know, for marathon weekend last year, 2 o'clock, maybe 2:15, because you got to really be, you know, because it's such a big place, and you got to ride a bus, and you know, you don't want to miss that bus or get on the last bus where you're biting your nails, hoping you don't miss the start. So yeah, I mean, that's a big difference, because you're really at Walt Disney World getting up dead in the middle of the night for that morning race, where I could imagine, you know, sleeping until 4:45, even though that sounds really early today on a Monday, yeah, you know, regular day. But man, that'd be nice to have a couple extra hours of sleep.
It was. And it made it so that we were able to, we had a refrigerator in our hotel room and a microwave, so we were able to make some food. I like to run with food in my stomach. Some people don't, but I was able to get some food and prior to those races. Now, it was pretty awesome for those races, because they would have characters, the Star Wars characters, in amongst the parks. We saw Darth Vader, we saw Stormtroopers, we saw Boba Fett. A lot of people were dressing up too, so it was really, really cool. My favorite ones were these two gals. They were dressed up as an AT-AT, so that big walking transport vehicle that you saw at the beginning of Empire Strikes Back. And so these two gals had their left legs and right legs tied together, and so they had to stay in sync, and this was on the half marathon, so they had to stay in sync for 13.1 miles. They thought it was really cool at the beginning, but about halfway through they started thinking that wasn't the best idea to have.
That'd be a great like marriage counseling exercise or something. You know, you have to do a half marathon as an AT-AT together as a couple. That you'd either be divorced or you'd really like each other at the end.
Premarital counseling. Yeah, probably.
That's it. Yeah, probably. You know, we have our friends Gail and Kimberly Mars Tori. Also, they do the awesome costumes for all the Run Disney races, as well as Pamela out there, and I know they dressed up as, I believe, a X-Wing fighter and a TIE fighter for one of the races.
Cool.
They change their costumes every race, so you might have seen them on the course too.
I might have, yes. I know I saw some people dressed up. There was one guy dressed up as the Star Tours Star Speeder.
Nice.
There was a group of guys that were TIE fighters, and they were going pew 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 the entire way. It was pretty funny.
That's awesome.
Some other guys were speeder bikes from Return of the Jedi, and one was dressed up as an Ewok driving one of those. The other guys were the speeder bike stormtroopers.
Nice.
So.
So what did you think? So you did the 5K, the 10K, and the half marathon. So let's talk for just a second about the courses themselves. You know, was one better than the other? Obviously, they get longer each day, but you know, was there one that you really enjoyed better than the other?
No, they were all a lot of fun. The 5K went in and around Disneyland and Disney California Adventure, and stayed around there. They would go through. When we entered Disneyland, we would go for the 5K. We went down Main Street, then through Frontierland, Fantasyland, and Tomorrowland. And then behind Cars Land, and then and Paradise Pier, and through the Paradise Pier area, and in front of the California Screamin' roller coaster, and then we looped back around to the finish line from there. For the 10K, we were in. We started outside, and then we entered in from the back from Toontown area. I'm trying to correlate that with Disney World, but I can't off the top of my head. Came in through the back there, went around. I'm starting to forget now. Basically, a lot of the same route. This time we went through an access tunnel. We went through a lot of backstage areas. And we saw floats, and from the Christmas floats, because those were out and about, and a lot of the ride vehicles. So those were pretty cool to see some of the Splash Mountain logs out of the water. And so you could kind of see what they looked like. But running through the parks, and there were some areas that were outside the parks too, as well. The half marathon, we did go through the parks itself, looped around the parks for about, I don't know, about 3 miles for that one, about the same length as the 5K. So, and then we exited the park and then went outside down to, and did most of the race outside of the park. And we went out to a little community called Garden Grove, I believe it was. And they, and then they had all kinds of people out cheering us on. It was great. The community support for this thing was great. They had high school bands coming out. The high school bands were playing Star Wars music as well. The 501st made an appearance as well, dressed up as the stormtroopers and the other Star Wars characters. They had some great costumes. They looked like they could be in the movies as well. So did that, and then after all the races, we'd make sure that we carved up and went to good places to eat.
So what do you recommend? You mentioned eating there, because it's a little bit different when you're on vacation as to a race weekend, because you got to really take care of your fuel to make sure that you're not only ready for the next day, but recovering from the run you just participated in. So, what was there a good choice for you?
I really like the Carnation Cafe. That was one of the best places. They've got a lot of really good foods there. They also have one of the legends there as well, Oscar, Chef Oscar. He wasn't there at that time, but we've met him in the past. He's a cast member that has been at Disneyland since 1955. Crazy. So he likes to come out and greet people. I'm not sure how much work he does as far as cooking involved, but or if he's more of a PR person.
That's amazing, though. I mean, Disneyland's celebrating 60 years this year. That's crazy that somebody would still be there. I mean, I would hope they treat him as the legend that he is, and kind of give him more of like a like you said, like a PR position or like a figurehead, because he deserves that.
He does, and he's great. So
awesome. Well, so we haven't mentioned the half marathon. So you've kind of worked your way through the 5 and the 10, and they got the courses there. So obviously the one that everybody's probably getting really hyped up for to kind of wrap up the weekend and to complete the Rebel Challenge is the half marathon. And I know we have a lot of folks, a lot of our BR Guest podcast lizards are going out for Star Wars weekend this year and running the 5K, the 10K in the half and doing the challenges too. So I would imagine that last day where, we have the longest race is pretty exciting.
It was. And that's the one that had the AT-AT runners in it. And was the one that I kind of mushed them together, that the 10K and the half together. So that's the half went through the parks to start out with, and then went down to the Garden Grove neighborhood out and about. And that's where we saw most of the bands and the Star Wars characters and the like. And then on the way back, it was an out and back type course with a loop down at the end of the out part and came back in.
So how were you feeling that last day? Because again, you know, you'd really kind of expanded your boundaries there by doing this challenge.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling on the last day on Sunday, I guess?
Sunday was pretty sore.
I can imagine.
We have two kids. They were 13 and 9 at the time. So they ran the 5K with us, but they did not run the 10 or the half with us. We went ahead and let them. We were staying literally across the street from Disneyland. You walk out the hotel to the hotel entrance, and you see the crosswalk. You cross the street, and you're in Disneyland. So that's how close we were. So we let them go off on their own and cross the street and go over there on their own while we were still doing our race. So we didn't finish up. We finished the race at about 9:30. We're not the fastest people. We turned in about a 3-hour run time for that, but we finished. So they were already over there. We decided to meet them at Tom Sawyer's Island. And their thing was to get cotton candy first thing in the morning because mom and dad weren't around.
That's it.
So it's kind of like, yeah, get what you want. It's we don't have to deal with your stickiness.
That's awesome.
And so we were walking around. I was walking around the island a little bit with those sore legs, mainly my quads, and avoiding stairs wherever I could. I did run into another guy who was coming down the stairs very, very gingerly and asked him, "So you did the half marathon, huh?" He says, "Yep."
It's a brotherhood. Yeah, it's a brotherhood. Let me just tell you, yeah. Man, don't, if you're not a runner, do not make fun of people after a race walking downstairs. It is painful as anything. And don't ride Space Mountain, people. That's my tip. I've said that for years because I made that stupid mistake back in like 2010.
Seriously. You probably due to the height and being able to getting your legs all scrunched up. I'm only 5'8", so I've got an advantage there fitting into smaller places.
Let me ask you this, because we're going to talk about another kind of, short little trip that you took. That's very, very interesting. But wrapping up the Run Disney talk here, because we do have, I know that we have my good friend Teresa's going out, and also Julie, they're going out to do Star Wars weekend, and lots of lizards heading out that way. Phil's running, so many people. But, you know, any advice, like, for folks that are headed out west that maybe you noticed, that, you know, maybe about the expo? Was the expo good? You know, did you miss anything? I mean, you know, just advice for people that want to check this out for the first time.
Yeah, we didn't do a lot on the expo itself. I wanted to do more of it, but we were kind of time constrained on things there. So I didn't get to meander through the shops and stuff like that. Like I kind of wanted, we had the kids with us so that they were completely bored. So they didn't want to be there. I would have liked to poke around some of the race merchandise a little bit more, look for, one of the I did it t-shirts. Mm-hmm. I've got the race t-shirts, but I would have liked one of the I did it t-shirts. That would have been fun. One thing that I would recommend is if you're running, get one of the hotels on Harbor Boulevard. It makes it so much easier to get to the races. You just walk through the Esplanade, which is the big area between Disneyland and Disney California. Walk through there, and they've got really good signage and people to tell you which way to go, so you can get to your corral and be there on time.
All right, one last thing. How was the weather? Because I know California weather is pretty nice most of the time, but did you find it pleasant for your weekend?
It was very nice. It was, I would say that it was in the 70s. So most of the, for the highs, when we were running, in t-shirts and shorts. I was wearing, this is the funny part. We were able to find some matching t-shirts, for the 5K. I had a Boba Fett t-shirt. My son had a Darth Vader t-shirt. My wife had an R2-D2 t-shirt, and my daughter had a C-3PO t-shirt. So those were a lot of fun as well. So it was in the 70s most of the time. So t-shirts and shorts were very comfortable. it was close enough to the hotel was close enough that you could easily go back to the hotel, just walk back. It's probably a 15-minute walk, if that, to get that stuff, to go back to the hotel to change clothes or the like. So it makes it super easy to go back for naps and a break during the day.
That sounds great, boy. That's definitely an advantage over World, because you're talking at least an hour to get back to your hotel before you hit the showers, and you need that shower after a race.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. My favorite story is for the parks is when my daughter was younger. I think she was maybe 5 at the time. We had gone to Disneyland, and right as the park was opening, they opened the. This was an Extra Magic morning, so everybody was ready to go and going in for the extra magic hour. She decides to throw a fit, and so I pick her up and take her off to back to the hotel, and get her calmed down and all that. Then head back to the park and meet up with my wife, who's back in Fantasy Land, back by the carousel and Peter Pan's flight and all that good stuff. And total time elapsed was 30 minutes.
Holy cow! Yeah, Mallory did the same thing once. This was not this past trip, but last summer, where she threw a fit at Animal Kingdom as we were going into the park there, and we took her back to the hotel. But that was just, I mean, the day was pretty much shot, because it took an hour to get back. By the time we, you know, chilled out at the room for an hour or two, then to get back to the park, I mean, it was already, you know, well into the afternoon. So, yeah, the size of Disneyland is definitely an advantage.
It is. And you can park hop between back and forth between the two parks. It's about 100-yard walk between the two parks.
I can't imagine. Well, so let me ask you this. As we close out the Run Disney talk, everybody's out there hopefully training today and getting in your miles. Good job. It's a Monday. Maybe you did them this past weekend, so you're just recovering today. Nice job. Sometimes recovering and not running is harder than running. I personally can tell you that. So are you signed up for any other Run Disney races, or are you eyeballing any potential races?
I'm not, unfortunately, but I am keeping running. I did my 3 miles this morning, so
hey,
that was
job.
A good thing.
Good job. It's your five. You know, it's your daily 5K. That's the way I look
That's
at
right.
it.
That's right.
Keeps you there. All right. So now, you know, in the time, because sometimes, you know, if you've been on the Monday shows, you know that we get a lot of requests. So we have to schedule these things well in advance. And you've taken a trip since then, which was actually not meant to be a Disneyland trip, but it had extenuating circumstances, which I like the way you think. So we have about 10 minutes left. So share this awesome adventure, because just a couple weeks ago, the remake of National Lampoon's Vacation came out in theaters. And I can almost hear Holiday Road playing on this situation. So how'd this one go for you?
We started off on the Oregon coast in Newport, Oregon, if people know where that's at. We rented a house for my parents' 50th anniversary. And so we were going to do that. That was going to be a long weekend. So we left on there on a Wednesday and headed down to Yosemite National Park, which is, I would say, northern central California. So we spent about 5 days there. And during that time, we got an email from our state legislature saying, or from the state parks, because on our way home, we were going to be stopping at a state park near Mount St. Helens and spending some time there. And they sent us an email saying that due to the possibility of the state budget not passing, they may have to do a government shutdown. That means that the state parks would be closed. So we were in a mode of, okay, we may have to cut our vacation short by a couple days, which isn't the worst thing in the world, or we could head back up towards there and hope that they got their act together and passed the budget. Or we could just cancel that, and we were about 6 hours away from Disneyland driving time. So we decided to look into that instead. My wife and I kind of looked at each other and said, why not?
So I'm trying to picture the geography, because I've been to Yosemite, but we didn't get to Disneyland that time I was out there. But Disneyland, you say it's about 6 hours away, but it's 6 hours to the south, correct?
To the south.
I like the way you're thinking. You know, hey, let's, you know, well, you know, it's only, you know, instead of heading back north, let's just drive 6 hours south to go to Disneyland. I like the way you think. It's totally illogical, but it's perfect.
It was. I mean, might as well make lemonade out of lemons. Excellent. Right?
Absolutely. It'd be a shame if you didn't.
So the hardest part was trying to find a hotel nearby that would, because we were camping in Yosemite, and we've got a small trailer, and we had to find a place where we could park that trailer during the time. And so we stayed at a travel lodge, which was to the north of the parks on Ball Road. And they had space for the trailer. So we were able to park there. And that allowed us to grab some food out of the trailer in the evening times, have dinner from there. They had a continental breakfast, so we only had to actually eat one meal in the parks if we had to.
That's crazy though, because people don't, you know. Like, I'm picturing it's almost like you're camping at Disneyland.
Just about, yeah.
That's crazy. So now this, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, especially folks listen to our show, are big time planners. You know, we know what we're doing 3 years from, you know, tomorrow when it comes to our Disney vacations. Mm-hmm. So what was it like for you? You know, like, just this happened on you, like all of a sudden, bam, you're at Disneyland, not expecting it. How did it go when you arrived?
It was great. We decided that we would drive down to the and check into the hotel, and then go back and stay in the hotel for, oh, till about 5 or 6. We have annual passes because the time frame that we were going to be there back in January was going to be longer than the maximum 5-day passes that they had. So we decided, okay, well, we'll buy annual passes and hope that we can think about getting down. And that was one of the big determining factors for us making that left-hand turn to go south instead of the right-hand turn to go north, was we had that opportunity. We had those annual passes. So that part was paid for already. We decided to try and get a nap prior to going in, because the parks were open from 8 a.m. till midnight the entire time we were there. And so we tried to lay down for about a half an hour, and my wife turned to me and said, I'm too excited to sleep. Let's go in.
Gotta like that.
So she's just as big of a Disney nut as I am. So we have a great time with it. And so we went in, stayed until park closing that night, and came back to the room, and at about 1:30 got some sleep, got up at 6 o'clock the next morning to be at Rope Drop at 8 o'clock after some breakfast. And we did that for the two other days that we were there, and before we finally had to check out.
I like it though, because you know, it's one of those things that I think, you know, looking back on this and you reflect back on it, it's going to be one of those vacations that your kids are like, you know, remember that time that we, you know, decided to be crazy and just head down to Disneyland on a moment's notice? Because I think those are the best kind of vacations. And, you know, also kind of hearing your excitement and your wife's excitement about this, too. And I also think that it's probably easier to do this at Disneyland than Walt Disney World because of the legacy fast passes out there. You know, you don't have to be as much of a planner to take, you know, you could do it at World, don't get me wrong, but it would be a little bit more stressful, I think.
Right. You're right. The legacy fast passes are great for that, because we could, yeah, go back in and grab those fast passes as hit the machines as they go along. They are now enforcing the return times for that, unfortunately, because we used to kind of collect a stack of them, and then in the evening times go start using all those fast passes again on those rides once they got busy again.
Yeah, I was the king of that. Boy, I was so good at that at the Magic Kingdom. We'd be set in the evening. We'd have like 7 fast passes.
That's right.
I never thought about it. I didn't used to train for races, but I did on my vacations, because I put like 8 miles on my legs every morning going from here to here to here to get those fast passes.
Running around getting those fast passes, the fast pass marathon.
That's it. Well, man, it sounds like you guys had two great vacations, both running and then spur of the moment Disneyland vacation. Alan, I appreciate you taking the time to come on with me today and share this with our audience. Great way to start the week, and hope to hear about your upcoming adventures whenever you head to Disney next.
Yes, we're hoping to go again in October for the final trip. That's the planned trip. This one was not planned at all. This one was the bonus trip, and this shows the dangers of having an annual pass.
That's exactly. I was going to say that, man. We tell people this all the time. If you upgrade to an annual pass, you will most likely, if you're listening, especially if you're listening to a Disney podcast or you're on a Disney forum or, you know, you check Disney hashtags on Twitter, you're going to justify one or two or three extra trips during that 365 days. It just happens.
Exactly. We were even joking on the way down to Yosemite when we saw this, the signs, 432 miles to Los Angeles. We were joking, hey, let's just go to Disneyland instead. This was before we even got the email saying that that the parks were our state park may be closed and losing our reservation for that, before we even thought that we were going to be serious about going down again.
Well, great stuff. I love the way you think. And Alan, great talking to you today, and thanks for sharing that with our listeners today.
Great. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Don't forget, today's episode brought to you by the good folks over at touringplans.com. They're going to keep you out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World. And actually, there's a Disneyland app as well to keep you going there and seeing the most amount of attractions that you can. So check them out today and support the folks who support us. They're great people. They keep our show going over at touringplans.com. Do check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're right there at magicalmouseradio.com. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at BeOurGuestMike. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. Also, please keep those ratings and reviews coming on iTunes and Stitcher. This past week, we have hit really, really high rankings on the iTunes podcast store. We appreciate that so much. And that's because you have dropped by and given us lots of great ratings and reviews, and I don't know how that works, but it definitely helps. So please do that if you haven't for a while. And if you have done that in the past a little bit, thank you so much for taking the time to say the kind words over on iTunes. That helps other people find the show, and we appreciate that so, so much. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get back to your work week. Hopefully you're having a great Monday already. We'll be back again on Wednesday answering your listener questions. You can send those in to mike@brguestpodcast.com. So for Alan, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Continue to work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.